never filtered, always fun.
My brother's a house inspector. He's told me some horrifying stories where he's walking through the house, you throw the bathroom door open, there's a guy taking a dump there.
Like, so a guy's just leaving a coiler.
You wouldn't let somebody know.
I was just shaving.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
I tweeted out.
Yeah, I'm reading your tweet.
You want me to retweet?
Yeah.
Are you allowed to use that verbiage?
I love the word horny. I'm always horny.
Okay, well, you're getting a lot of likes.
He's
on
horny
that.
Too, that little devil.
Who, Hayes?
No, our buddy Keith that came with us to Chicago.
Has he finally come back? How about he tweets out his own review on Airbnb?
What a loser move.
Like, he's like... Yeah, the guy
you
was
can do
cleaning.
That, Keith, but you know what? The next time you go to Airbnb and they say you're a loser, you got to tweet that out, too.
Well, I would think that's a two-way street, right? Like, if the tenant is a loser and a slob, you're never going to be able to get another spot ever again.
No.
Like, it's all about the rating system.
Yeah.
Well, right? Like, it goes both ways, so be careful. But, all right, you got to read your tweet. Noodles, you cut them off. What did you tweet?
It's on your screen right now. Why don't you tweet it out and have your thoughts if you yes guy or no guy the tweet.
Hayes is super horny today about sports. Tune in to Overdrive at 4 p.m. It's going to be the show of the year.
Do you not think this is going to be the show of the year?
Does it feel
like... I was fully prepared to mail this weekend, but today, I can't.
Well, where do you want to start?
Sports Twitter was on fire today, and we have to get engaged.
There is a lot of potential for hot takes today.
What are you most passionate about out of the gate?
I got to be honest, Masai Ujiri, the fact that he came out and he announced Bobby Webster to the media about a half an hour ago.
Yeah.
And then made his way out of the room.
And didn't deal with...
When Rome is potentially burning, I take serious issue with that.
Offense?
Serious offense.
Why not just kind of...
End it.
End it.
If you're staying, Masai... Come out and say you're staying. The only reason there's going to be speculation...
Is because you left.
Because you left and you haven't said anything. If you're a Raptor, put up or shut up, man. Because the longer this goes on with the Knicks circling and Tim Leiwicki's involved down there, we know Leiwicki was the one that brought him here from Denver to begin with.
How many jobs does Leiwicki have? This guy's everywhere.
He's in on everything. But the only person that matters right now is Masai Ujiri. And I got to be honest, I didn't like the act.
No.
You can't come out and say this is Bobby Webster's day. With all due respect to the new GM, Bobby Webster, it stopped being his day when the reports came out earlier this morning. It became the Masai Ujiri day. And you've got, you owe it to Raptors fans to give them an answer.
What he should have done was introduced him, let him have his time, and then have secondary questions afterwards.
Absolutely.
Yeah, or just say, not introduce him.
What do you want to know?
Pull the introduction today, deal with what you have to deal with, and then introduce him tomorrow.
Right. Bobby Webster can get introduced tomorrow or like 2 days down the road.
Like, there's got to be a better way from an optic standpoint, because now this is what's out there. This is what people are talking about, and you're not fanning the flames. You're not settling things down. If anything,
you're only going
gasoline
to perpetuate the speculation.
Yeah.
Like... The reports came out today because Phil Jackson's finally done in New York.
You think the Zen Master's out?
If you're a Knicks fan, you are dancing in the streets in New York today because his three-year tenure has been an unmitigated disaster.
Who was the player there? I forget that hates it.
Anthony. Yeah, Melo's not a fan, and Melo, I would assume, is probably a fan of this move.
Absolutely.
Although, still a lot of reports and rumors out there that Carmelo Anthony could still be on the move, and I would suggest that that's probably in the best interest of the Knicks. But when the reports come out that Jackson's out and James Dolan, working in conjunction with Tim Leiwicki, have circled Masai Ujiri as the guy they want to replace him with.
Right.
That's going to be a big story.
Mm-hmm.
That's big news.
My thoughts on it is, go ahead and take Masai, because if you're not with Golden State or San Antonio or Houston or Cleveland, It's a league where five teams are relevant. So you want to go ahead and be a superstar GM and don't let your team's going to do what they do and just be a failure anyway. So go ahead. Well, you want your dream job? Brian Burke talked about it. You go to the Maple Leafs and you win a cup. They're going to name streets after you. Right. They're going to name schools after you. You're not going to do that with the Knicks.
Well, you would have the same reaction if you actually won with the Knicks. The Knicks are the Maple Leafs of the NBA. Mm-hmm. They have been a
And you know
tire
what? If
fire.
I was Masai and that was his dream job and he said he won, I would go too.
He's entitled to a dream. He's entitled to chasing a dream. But MLSE and the fans of Toronto are also entitled to an answer on this.
An explanation.
Do they have the ability to say you're not going anywhere? You can't even talk to them.
Well, he's locked up long term to four more years at big money. So at the very least, if I'm the Raptors, I'm saying you're not going anywhere unless we're getting huge compensation.
Well, here's a question for you. You just said big money. Like Jim Dolan, we'll go, I'll double that.
He'll probably make him the highest paid executive in the NBA.
That's the one thing. All I could think about is, now if MLSC really enjoys, likes him and thinks the world of him, wants to keep him, do you not make that phone call and go, we could probably top something up here if you want to stay?
I totally disagree. We talked about Dion Phaneuf having the right to say no to waiving.
Right.
You sign a guy to a contract, and all of a sudden you have to pay him, what, $5 million more a year? What the hell is that?
Well, explain,
you signed the contract.
You're right.
Also, explain to me why Masai Ujiri is worthy of the highest contract in the league. Now, I understand it's whatever someone's willing to pay you.
Correct.
But this is a guy who's never been to an
this
NBA
Finals.
This is a
guy that assembles a team that gets dummied by Cleveland. So
he's,
what
he's
is
never
that
been
worth?
To an NBA Finals. Like, with all due respect to Masai Ujiri, the fact that this courtship is even on, I'm sure is making other executives throughout the league shake their head a little bit.
Well,
because I think he's a good executive. He has not proven he's a great executive.
What stood out for me when we had Bruce Arthur on, was it last week? Is he talked about Masai has a great reputation throughout the league, and there's not a ton of executives that are, like you say, you saw what happened with Phil Jackson. Phil Jackson, by all accounts, living legend, but doesn't mean you can run a team or do anything good with it.
I think Jack Armstrong was on with Scotty Mack saying, if I was MLSE, I would throw more money at Masai. Why?
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, listen, I think Masai Ujiri, what he's proven over his 4 years in Toronto is, I think he's got the smarts to adjust on the fly. And what I mean by that is, his original plan was to blow it up. They ended up winning in spite of his original plan. He traded Rudy Gay to get worse. They got better. He wanted to trade Kyle Lowry.
It fell through.
The Knicks said no. But to his credit, he realized, okay, actually, my breakdown here was wrong. I think we've actually got a better team than I thought we would. Let's build with this. Let's see where it goes. And as a result, they have reached heights that this organization has never reached before. But he's also swung and missed on a lot of things.
Sure.
Right? Signed Damari Carroll to a contract that is one of the worst in the NBA. Drafted Bruno Caboclo. You know, he's made a couple of moves that you also look at and say, wait a minute. And ultimately, this is a team who's just kind of, they're a very good team. They're not a great team. And he doesn't have any rings.
No, but I think what he's done is helped MLSE make a lot of money. And I think from a business standpoint, they're pretty happy with that. I don't know who else is out there. I don't have behind-the-scenes basketball knowledge that there's an executive in waiting.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where's the next, if you're Leafs, Kyle Dubas, where's the next, you know, guy?
Right.
Yeah, and I heard somebody on one of our shows today saying he's the Theo Epstein of basketball. No, he's not.
Who, Masai?
Somebody said that.
It's how?
No kidding. Unless you blow it up like he did in Chicago and get the prospects and build through that and bring in the coach and win, then you're Theo Epstein. If you don't do that, you're not Theo Epstein.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like Masai Ujiri.
It's almost like if you think you're that brilliant as an executive, that's what you have to do. You have to blow it up and do your own thing, draft your own people. It's kind of like what Shanny did when he came here. It's like he said, you know what, I'm blowing this all out and I'm doing it my way and I'll try that way. Obviously, he hit the jackpot with Austin Matthews, but Brendan Shanahan's going to, he'll always be employed by the NHL because everyone's going to say he's going to come in and fix this because he did that with the Leafs.
He's become a fixer.
That's what Theo Epstein did with Chicago.
Theo did it with the Red Sox too.
Like, yes, he did.
To compare
he did
anyone
twice.
to compare anyone to Theo Epstein is ludicrous. Not just Masai.
Right.
No one has done what he has done. Nobody ever. The guy took two franchises in Boston and Chicago. Boston had not won a World Series in 86 years before Theo got his hands on them.
Right.
Chicago had won in 108 years. That guy is an absolute genius and an absolute magician.
He's employed till he's 75 years old.
As he should be. He should be in the Hall of Fame today.
Yeah.
Should be in the Hall of Fame today. But, like, so it's not even, that's not a shot at Masai saying he's not Theo Epstein. Nobody is. But Masai Ujiri, I think he's an upper echelon executive. Is he the best in the league based on what standards?
Well,
on what standards?
And I'm not here to defend him. What I'm saying is, every time you talk to basketball people, when we have Jack in here or Sam Mitchell, they're very complimentary of the Raptors because they say nobody's going to win against Cleveland because of one player, LeBron. And that's... Unfortunately, that's where the argument comes in,
where if he was going to show his smarts and value as an executive, he probably would have blown it up and tried to somehow create his own identity, his own team. But it's all about the talent. If you inherit a team with LeBron James on it, or Steph Curry, or Kevin Durant, then you're a genius. You're a god.
Well,
he doesn't have that.
Steph Curry was actually a diamond in the rough. Weren't we talking about...
No, he was a top 10 pick. It wasn't a free agent out of college.
No, but that's a guy who's on a value contract. Like, that general manager's done a good job of.
Very much so. And listen, Steph developed into something no one saw coming.
Right.
Right, for sure. And I'm not disputing that, but it's not like he was...
Yeah, he wasn't...
He didn't go undrafted and play in Europe for 5 years.
Division four, I get that.
You know, he was still a top 10 pick. But I have been pushing this. I've been a proponent of the Raptors taking a page out of the 76ers book. Because look at what Philly's done. Now they got Fultz, Simmons, Embiid, Saric. I mean, they got four kids right there who I think are going to lead to a very good core in Philly. But what happened was they blew it up. They said, we got to blow it up. And I'm not sure Masai is going to have that in him. And I wonder if he ends up leaving for New York, if it opens the door for that option. Lowry walks. They decide, okay, maybe we move on from DeMar. We bottom out. I don't know if MLSC has the stomach for it. I'm not sure they do. Not sure all the fans do, quite frankly. But I think if you actually have aspirations of winning a title, it's probably your only option. Because the Raptors don't lure in big free agents. No one's talking about Paul George coming here. Or, you know, it doesn't happen. Chris Paul got flipped today. That doesn't happen for the Raptors.
The Raps are somewhat similar to the Leafs, where I talked about the Leafs a few years ago. And I said, how many championship teams, if this team thinks they're going to win a championship, are from... Like, their core pieces are all from different teams. Phil was from Boston. Dion was from Calgary. Bernier was from Los Angeles. It's like none of these guys are...
Homegrown.
It's like, what championship team is like that?
And with the Raptors, again, it's even more difficult because they have a tough time luring free agents. And there is player movement in the NBA.
Right, just not to Toronto.
But it does. The biggest free agent they've signed is like Hedo Turkoglu.
I find it funny how they all say they love Toronto, they love coming here, but none of them want to sign.
But no one ever wants to sign here. They'll party here in July and August with Drake.
They will come in and take 2 points and go to the bars and take all the chicks, and yeah, but they don't want to sign here.
That bird leaves Pearson real
unfortunately
soon.
I mean, it isn't the number one destination when you've got cities like New York and L.A. and.
But it's not even the cities. It's the
Chicago.
The reputation of the organization. Yep. And you know, the cities factor in, obviously. I mean, we're talking about Americans and Americans a lot of times adverse to playing up here. But let's bring in Bobby Marks, former NBA executive and NBA front office insider for The Vertical and TheVertical.com. Obviously, we're buzzing about this Ujiri to the Knicks report. Explain to us from your perspective, Bobby, lay it on the line for us. Why would that move make sense for Masai Ujiri?
It wouldn't. How's that sound?
Okay.
I understand New York. I understand it's a big market. You know, I think it would be a lateral or even I don't want to say a demotion, but it would be I don't think it would be a positive move for Masai's career. I really don't. And I'm a big fan of his, and I love what he's done in Toronto and what he was able to do in Denver there. That's a mess there. I mean, what you would inherit in New York is a complete mess based on You've got to figure out what you want to do with Carmelo. Remember, Masai is the person who traded him, you know, back in 2011 to New York. So now you inherit an older player, and you're limited what you can do this offseason from a cap perspective. I know, you know, maybe some of the resources, maybe the city might be more of an attractive piece than maybe Toronto. I mean, you can all put that into play there, but I mean, I think what he has with the Toronto, and I know they've got some work to do with Lowry and the Buck and some of their other free agents this summer, but I that Toronto job is more of an appeal for me, at least for me, from and at least from people I've talked to around the league, compared to what you would inherit in New York.
So for someone to become a legend in New York, is it safe to say that the only way to do it would be to go there? Because there's a lot of executives that say, that's my dream job. Like, not to add on to what they have in New York, but just to blow it up and develop their own program, bring in their own people, draft well, and do it that way. Because obviously what they have, just as you said, is not working.
Well, no, you're right. And I always said that if, you know, I mean, can you imagine if R.C. Buford or Greg Popovich from the Spurs were in New York, they would be building statues of those two out in front of Madison Square Garden. And I think that's where, it's the ultimate challenge of a job where you go into probably one of the bigger markets in the NBA, haven't won a championship since, I think, 73, have really been mirrored in, adequate play at best. And so can you kind of put your fingerprints all over it and kind of revamp that team? But you inherit, I mean, some of those contracts, if it ever did happen, Masai would inherit are not good ones. I mean, that Joakim Noah contract is not a good contract. And, Anthony still has 2 years, $50 million. I know Porzingis is one of, a building block for you. You've got a rookie point guard there. And that team is not they're nowhere near a playoff team for next year, even if they do out and go out and add a free agent in the offseason, where that Toronto team is still, still a top 3-4 team. And I think that window in Cleveland may be, shrinking maybe to only this year coming up.
We're chatting with Bobby Marks, former NBA executive and NBA front office insider with The Vertical.
It's pretty crazy, Brian, to think that Derrick Rose last year was saying we are one of the super teams.
Yeah. How'd that go over?
Yeah. He said we're
a
super
team. You know what I learned, guys, just from being in Brooklyn, is that they don't give you trophies during the summer. Because if they did, I'd have like a closet full of them right now from being in Brooklyn for so long there. And no, I mean, can you imagine? Look at his value. I mean, a guy who's making $20 million plus, I mean, he'll be lucky if he gets $8 to $10 million on the open market this summer. And how it's amazing how things change in a year.
Well, if it got to a point where Masai said, you know what, this has always been my dream job. Tim Leiwicki is now connected to this job, and Leiwicki was the guy who brought him in here from Denver to begin with, and maybe he feels a debt of gratitude towards Leiwicki. If it got to that point, what kind of compensation would the Raptors have to demand in order to let him out of his deal?
I would think at least 2 first-round picks. I remember when Doc Rivers left to go to the Clippers back in 2013. The Boston wound up getting one from them, but that was a coach going to from Boston. You know, he wasn't Danny Ainge. He didn't have that president role. I would think it would at the minimum. Remember they received a second round pick to let Jeff Weltman go to Orlando, and that was a move that was a better than what Jeff had in Toronto. So I would think it would be at a minimum 2 first round picks. Can he get by one? Maybe, but that would be my asking price if I was Raptor ownership.
That would be very enticing, I have to be honest. Like, if it was 2 first-round picks unprotected from the
Knicks.
See
you later, man.
I'm not sure Masai's worth 2 top 3 picks overall, top 5 picks
One, the other thing is that you've got a great GM kind of sitting on the sidelines right now, David Griffin from Cleveland. So, how does that work? I know, Bobby Webster just got promoted to, the GM role under Masai, but I think if it was ever in motion and that is in place, it's not like they're going to, be struggling for some alternatives there. I mean, Griff's, certainly has paid his due in Cleveland and has been able to manage a big payroll and some, certainly some personalities on that Cavalier team.
No question, man. Maybe he brings LeBron with him. It's all coming up. Raptors all of a sudden, Bobby. It's all working up, man. Appreciate the insight. Thank you for doing this.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you.
Bobby Marks, NBA front office insider for The Vertical.
Right off the gate, he's like, yeah, Toronto's not, like you can tell, he's like, Toronto's not a destination. like for people. Like, and he was being honest, but that's that. I was going to chime on that and be like, is that the perception throughout the league? I know here we think it, but.
Well, and that's the problem with this, and this is another reason why I kind of take issue with the way Ujiri handled everything today, is you're dealing with a market that's very sensitive to New York and Chicago and L.A.
Right, right.
And the lures of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is an inferiority complex here.
Well, yeah, because, especially when it comes to basketball. Like, that, you know, New York is... Knicks are the...
We went through it to a lesser extent with John Farrell leaving the Jays to go to the Red Sox, too.
Mm-hmm.
He was locked into term, and he sat there and said, that's my dream job. That's the Red Sox. Same division.
And he went and won.
You need to draft or somehow find the guy to make it appealing.
I'll tell you what.
Milan Lucic, I don't think he would have had any interest in Edmonton if, guess who wasn't there?
You're right.
McDavid wasn't there.
And that's
you don't
what
think,
Matthews
Austin
bring
Matthews makes somebody interested. I'll play beside that guy for a couple of years on that team or with that group. I mean, as far as the basketball, they don't have the guy, so.
If I'm MLSE and the Knicks call me up and say, we will give you two first-round picks unprotected, I might be driving beside a Pearson.
I'll drive him all the way to New York.
Because I'm not sure there's an executive that's worth two top five picks overall. The Knicks are a disaster.
Yeah.
Like a disaster. If you're talking two first-round picks unprotected, that would be quite enticing. Well, and if I'm enticing. MLSC, I'm demanding it because he's going within the division.
And you start your rebuild right then and there.
There you go.
Now you start selling guys off.
Now you can start moving different things. Again, it would be a tough 2 or 3 years for Raptors fans, but the light at the end of the tunnel could be a lot brighter than anything we've ever seen.
That's exactly what I would do.
What's interesting for me and what he said was about the executive in Cleveland, because I want to know who through the league has a reputation that could come in and do a job. Because, you know, in other sports, there's certainly guys who are AGMs or executives that you think, okay, they could come in and drive the bus of an organization. That's the one thing that, you know, I don't know about the NBA. Who's ready to come in?
Well, David Griffin, like you mentioned, who had been in Cleveland for a number of years. Now, it's easy to look good when you got LeBron on your team.
You're tied to that, right?
You know, LeBron is a fan of his, and LeBron endorsed him. You've got Sam Hinkie out there. He was the guy who put the process together in Philly. You know, he was the one that was that just crazed genius, maniacal genius, saying, you know what, let's keep unloading and unloading and unloading, and it's finally paid off for Philly. He's not going to end up reaping the rewards, but he would be out there as well. Thanks again to Bobby Marks from The Vertical. So we'll keep tracking this throughout the day, what's going to happen in New York, where Masai comes into play, how it would affect the Kyle Lowry situation as well. And there's some big news out of Edmonton, like we mentioned.
Yeah,
Connor McDavid is about to get paid.
That's a
monster contract.
They ain't gonna win. They're not gonna win. You seen what's happened in Chicago?
All right, save that thought. We'll get to it next.
Any problem with my food choice today?
This is a problem. It's a serious problem.
The worst office infraction possible.
Well, he's had one worse.
You're right. The second worst office
infraction.
What
was the first?
You know, you drag bunt once in a while, and that just lingers in here forever.
Explain the food you brought in this afternoon.
It's just a simple pasta with some seafood on it. Scallops, some shrimp,
some
lobster.
Rotten seafood,
right? Like dead,
like carp,
like something out of Lake Ontario.
No, yeah. Shrimp, lobster, and scallops.
It is
on
you can
some
see
angel
the air
hair pasta.
You cannot bring seafood into.
I think it's a faux pas.
Oh, it's the
into
most
the
illegal. You guys aren't used to office dynamics.
Yeah, we're not used to
office.
You're
used to locker rooms.
I don't care. So Scotty Mack, I will say, he used to get a tuna sub.
Oh, my word, was that just disgusting. He would bring that, and he put onions on it. That was the problem.
The horn?
Onions. No, Scotty Mack. He'd have onions and a tuna sub, and it smelt...
Like this?
Honestly, like a porta potty at the end of a music festival.
We need a poll. What is the biggest faux pas for an office building or for an office setting.
I think this is worse than an office setting because we actually can't leave.
We're in an airtight studio.
And there's no windows in here. It's not like if you're in an office and you say, that's it, I'm going on my break, I'm out of here. We don't get breaks.
Well, we do, but we can't go outside and do anything.
I thought it was a nice pasta dish. I didn't think it would cause this much damage.
Oh, I'm sure it tasted great. There's a lot of different foods that taste great, but they smell horrible. And that is just, that thing's going to linger in there.
And you know he'll just leave it behind.
Can I leave to get back at it, and then I'll get rid of it?
All right, I give you permission.
You can have permission to go and eat it.
That thing better be out of the studio in 90 seconds.
Nah, come on. I need 5 minutes at it.
Go stick your face in there, blow a little bit, and then chuck that thing in the garbage.
Terminology I don't like.
All right, McDavid looking at an 8-year, $13.25 million contract. This is a monster.
It is.
We'll touch on it in 2 minutes. All right, Rays coming up in about a half an hour. Big news in the hockey world today. Connor McDavid, according to our own Ryan Rashog and others, on the verge of signing an 8-year deal worth $13.25 million per, which, needless to say, would be the biggest contract in the cap era. And significant jumping from Taves and Kane at 10.5 to McDavid setting a new bar at 13.25.
I love the idea of guys getting paid, but if you want that and Draisaitl's going to get 9 or 8, you're going to have a hard time winning. I think Gord Miller summed it up on Leafs Lunch the best when he said, you're going to be passing to American League hockey players the next 5-6 years. Can't afford to pay anybody.
Well, I think you can. The cap will go up a little bit. Like, if you look at the percentages, when Crosby first signed his deal, he was making roughly about the same percentage of the salary. Like 8.7, but they
right.
Of the cap.
This is 17.6% of the cap as of this year.
Right.
But what you're saying is down the road, it'll become 13% and then 12%.
Honestly, and I agree with O to a point, because you're not giving any flexibility to your general manager. This is where your general manager gets paid. This is where the depth of your organization gets tested, because you're going to have some guys on entry-level deals that chip in. Now, the LA Kings won with a front-loaded team, with that core making a lot of money, but then they had Toffoli, Pearson, guys making $900,000 who chipped in. That's where, if you're looking at the Oilers' depth, or we'll bring it home closer, because if Matthews ends up and Marner and Nylander and these guys get paid, you're going to be relying on guys from your depth to bridge that gap and make you a winning team.
I never fault the player for getting paid. It is not Connor McDavid's job to build a winning team. It's his job to be the best player in the world if you're going to be the highest paid player in the world. And that's what he's going to be. But he's already the best player in the world. And if he's not, he's right there.
Yeah.
This is on Chiarelli now. This is on the Oilers. It's not his problem what Draisaitl gets paid. It's not his problem what happens with Nugent Hopkins and Lucic and other players on this roster.
Yeah,
he's 20 years old. He's got another year left on this deal, and then 8 after that. He's saying, for the next 9 years of my career, which he will be in his prime, I want to get paid. And I want to avoid a situation where 4, 5, 6 years down the road, I'm significantly underpaid, because in the moment you ask me to take 8.5 or 9 million.
Yeah,
it's not the player's obligation or job to worry about everyone else on the team.
We say this all the time. When a general manager and you negotiate, there's not a gun to his head. There is, technically, but I mean, he's making a commitment. They're eating up some unrestricted free agent years there as well. This guy's making a commitment to Edmonton, Alberta.
Well, and let's not forget, he didn't choose Edmonton.
Right.
Lottery balls chose it for him.
Right.
And he doesn't owe anything to Edmonton.
We're going
to
be having the same conversation about 34 soon.
Exactly. Matthews doesn't owe anything to Toronto.
What does it mean for Carey Price, too? I'm sure he's saying, you know what? Maybe I'm 12.
I would think he probably would, because
he's
a UFA, not an RFA.
Right.
And you could make a sound argument he's more important just based on the position he plays.
Agreed.
Like, he is the Montreal Canadiens.
100%. If you're Mark Bergevin, it's the same. Oh, you say it all the time. Just write your number down, and I'll work around it. He may have to do that.
I've talked to Berge in the press box. He's like, Carey's contract's coming up. He's got the paper. He can write whatever he wants, but if it's too much, we're probably going to be screwed.
You got to sort things out.
But that's the thing. Like, what can Chiarelli, he can say no. He can say no. The Oilers can say, listen, you're under contract for another year, and then you're an RFA, so.
You got to bridge him?
But technically, they can't. My point is, Noodles, you can't complain afterwards. I don't want to see Peter Chiarelli in the hallway saying, can you believe this spoiled brat? He made us give him 13.25. He's not making you do anything, man.
I don't think that would be the case. I think they're ecstatic. I just believe that, unfortunately, the kicker could be number 29, Draisaitl.
Well, if you're Draisaitl, you know you're coming in under that, clearly. He understands he's not McDavid.
No.
I'm sure he understands who McDavid is, what McDavid is. But at some point, he's probably going to look at it and say,
I'm Malkin to your Crosby, so pay up.
I'm $2 million less a player, $3 million less a player. Like, I brought this up with Scotty Mack. Johnny Gaudreau is as confident of a player as you're going to find in the league. I think he signed for, what, $7 million, give or take?
Yeah, in that, it's 6'8 or 6'6 or something.
He's not McDavid. He's not $6 million less than McDavid. Now, he's locked in, so it doesn't matter now. But you know guys like that around the league are going to say, I'm making $6 million less? He's McDavid. He's better, but $6 million?
No, you're right. But what? I'll give you an example. My era, and just Brian, before yours, Eric Lindros signed for $3 million. Gretzky's going, hold on a second here.
Right, but non-cap.
Right.
And I'm sure the NHLPA is popping champagne right now because they're setting a new standard where it's like, just what you said, he's McDavid, but I'm not $10 million less than McDavid.
But here's where they have to be careful with that celebration. The cap is still going to be the cap.
And it's flattened.
So great. The high-end guys are going to get paid. Guess who's getting squeezed here? It's getting to a point where there will not be a middle class in the NHL. There's going to be guys making huge money and then a bunch of guys who are making fourth-line money, even if they're second-line players.
That was the big thing. That was the big argument when we had those meetings with the Players Association. Oh, they drew this pyramid. Oh, up top is good. But you guys that are making $2.5 million and $3 million for scoring 10 to 15 goals, bye-bye. Bye-bye. There's no more Pouliots. There's no more Patrick Sharps.
Yeah.
All those guys are gonzo. You have to try to find guys like Pascal Dupuis and Chris Kunitz that can fill in and become good players. And McDavid's going to have to make good players out of the guys he's playing with. And he's already done it once with Patrick Maroon.
Or you have to find young guys who are a player that outperforms their contract. Like Duncan Keith outperforms his contract because he's on a massive long term. Sidney Crosby outperforms his contract because he signed for a million years too. But this is where I keep bringing it back, and Hayes, you said it right at the start of the conversation. It's not McDavid's fault, or it's not McDavid's job. It's Peter Chiarelli's job.
It's Chiarelli's job. And circling back to Toronto and the ripple effect this will have on Matthews and, to a lesser extent, Marner and Nylander, I have said this countless times. Lou Lamoriello's greatest magic trick will be getting the three of them signed under value. I'm not sure it's possible now. Now, Marner and Nylander, they're great players. They can be as confident as they want. They're not getting anything close to 13.25.
Right.
Noodles, you and I, we had this argument last week. Matthews will likely be under McDavid, but I guarantee you he's going to ask for what McDavid's getting.
Just based on value to his organization.
Value to his organization. Yeah. Like, is McDavid a better player than Matthews? Yes, I believe that. Significantly better? Absolutely not. And if Matthews doubles down, let's say he scores 45 this year and gets 80 points, ends up for the Hart. He's making at least 12 if he wants it.
Yes.
And guess what? The Leafs have to give it to him.
Absolutely. Because then he's in that, like, he's in the same conversation, up for the Hart. Like,
I'm 20 years old. I'm a top three player in the world.
That's how they get paid.
Right.
What McDavid's done is just dragged the top players up. But to O's point, the $2.5 million player, it's now you're making 1-1. But those are the guys, I hate to say it because I was the guy on the bottom of the spectrum, but there's a reason why you're on the bottom of the spectrum. The guys at the top are the ones that put rear ends in the seats.
Right.
You buy their jerseys. They're the ones who win you games and lose you games and all of that. The rest of those players are really good players.
Fillers, man.
That help the process along.
Okay, you guys have been in the room before.
Yeah.
What kind of ripple effect do you think this will have in the Oilers' room if and when this gets signed?
If I'm a guy like Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, I'm probably thinking maybe I'm out of town too.
Yeah, you're going to have...
Because you're thinking...
There's going to be some carnage. But
He's a $6 million third-line centerman. He does give them some flexibility because Draisaitl can play second-line center or first-line left wing or right wing. But when you got a third-line centerman making $6 million, maybe you want to pay a guy $2.5 million.
You can't pay $6 million for a third line center.
You can't do it. When you're paying those two guys that, you're going to be sniffing around to look to move him out. You have to.
Well, if you had Tyler Bozak any longer, we'd be talking about that here in the ripple effect.
Well, that's why Kadri at 4.5, I think it was, if he's a 25 to 30 goal scorer, you might be lucky that they got that deal done.
Exactly.
Right? And that's why, again, when you circle back to where Toronto's at, Nylander, I wonder if this changes the way they were going to approach his contract negotiation. If you got to call him now and say, can we get you locked in at 6 years at five? You know, now, he may respond by saying, no chance, man.
Because I think the bar has been raised.
Yeah, he's going to double down on himself.
I'm going to double down, and I think I can do what Draisaitl did in his second year or whatever, and maybe I can score 75 points, and I'm going to want $8 or $9 million. But here's also the difficulty for Leaf fans and Oilers fans, and it's bittersweet because if you're an Oilers fan, you're sitting there saying, I get to watch Connor McDavid on my team throughout his prime.
Yeah.
That's a remarkable moment if you're a fan. Draisaitl's likely not going anywhere. They're still a really good team. They'll keep growing. Wouldn't shock me if they won a cup or two over those 9 years. But they're paying these guys this money, and they haven't won yet.
Yeah.
Toronto's more than likely going to pay Matthews, Marner, Nylander, and get locked in and have to make the same decision Chicago and L.A. did, but without the rings. And that is what is terrifying here, I would think.
It's a crapshoot.
It is a crapshoot, but like in Chicago, it feels like they're going backwards. Feels like they've got to take a step or two backwards.
Yeah.
But, man, is that easy to digest when you've got three rings.
Mm-hmm.
You can trade every player in the world. You can't trade the three rings, or they can't take the three rings from you.
Yeah.
L.A. is a bit of a tire fire right now. They still have two rings.
Yeah.
If I'm the Leafs or the Oilers or if I'm their fans, I'm sitting there saying, okay, this is great. We got great players. Believe me, it's better than being the alternative and you're a disaster.
And both organizations or fan bases know the alternative.
They felt it.
They felt it for years.
Recently, they felt it.
Yes.
But you could get locked in where you've all of a sudden got to start throwing players overboard and you haven't won yet.
I know. It's a great point.
They haven't won yet.
It's a great point because now, and O said this before, the National Hockey League used to be about paying guys for what they did. At 31, you became an unrestricted free agent, you get a 5-year deal, lots of money because, boy, you've celebrated that career.
You were really good.
Now, what's happened is you're paying guys for what you believe they can become.
And you darn well
and
hope they
you
can.
You better hope because there's guys, I mean, I've
Which
played
is kind of smart. Why do you want to pay the guy at the back end?
I know.
It goes wrong both ways.
It does.
You pay the older guy, it never pans out. And sometimes you pay the younger guy.
Think of...
Doesn't work out.
Rennie Bork's a good friend of mine. But Rennie Bork had two seasons, I think, at 27 goals. Signed a 6-year deal at 4-something. Like, you know, everyone believed that he was going to continue to do that. He had some injury issues, some inconsistency. But if you miss on those contracts, now all of a sudden you're struggling to move things around. You can still do it. But
well, I think it amplifies, though, the secondary gambles. McDavid's not a gamble.
No,
he's
going
to be a great player for a long time. I think Draisaitl will be. I think Matthews will be. This is where, again, if you want to sign JVR long term, you better make sure he gives you 30 every year.
Second line guys.
Milan Lucic better give him every cent of that contract.
Yep.
You know, that's where it really gets dangerous because if you hand out a contract at $5-6 million for a guy that's on your second line, you're like, okay, I can take it if it's 30 goals, but he has a couple of years where he dips off. You are
south.
big trouble.
Well, and that's why, I mean, the term of these deals, we'll call them secondary players, even though they're top six players or top four defensemen. You get into term, and you start chasing your tail, and all of a sudden you're having to move guys out just for draft picks and eat salary.
Right. Another reason why on July 1, don't even turn your phone on. Don't even turn your phone on.
We'll turn it on for a little bit because we got to work.
All right, for you guys. Ray's coming up in about 15 minutes. Jerry's percentage is at 530.
Ooh. And it is going to be epic. Jerry is fired up.
The last one of the year.
He spiced up a few of the comments he got from his secretary.
Is that right? I don't know about that. I looked at what the secretary had done. I kind of liked her work, but
No. There's some language that changes.
Love it.
Okay.
Jerry is in a swearing mood.
All right, Jerry at 5:30. So be it. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app. All right, Jerry's coming up at 5:30. According to some, he's in a bit of an ornery mood. Is that safe to say?
Let's just say he's six deep.
Okay. So maybe by 5:30, he's seven or eight deep.
Yeah.
We're going to be in for a time. Okay, we're looking forward to that at 5:30. And Ray's coming up as well. We'll get back into the McDavid news, Masai news. Michael Saunders here to rescue the Jays. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.